So turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 15. And, around here, we love the move of the Spirit. But we need to understand that the move of the Spirit comes in a lot of different forms. And, when you're ministering on the subject like we are with talking about finances and increase, well, if God's going to confirm His Word, He's going to do that by bringing financial material increase. And praise God. I'm just saying that if you don't roll on the floor and that kind of thing in some of these services, you're all right. Amen. And but we need revelation in this area. Isn't that right? We need help in this area. And I hope and trust that, your minds are being renewed. Praise God. That's the goal. And God, He's not having me put this on my heart. He hadn't put this subject on my heart for no reason. Amen. And so, Father, we thank You tonight for Your divine help. We thank You for the revelation and the unveiling of Your will. As we've already said, we thank You for eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that'll comprehend. The Holy Spirit, that You're going to unveil to us Your will in this area of finances and material increase. Father God, the work on the earth must be funded. And this kingdom, the message of the kingdom of God must be preached to all nations before the end can come. And it will take a lot of money to get that done. And then there is the covenant of prosperity and blessing that we've been studying that belongs to each and every one of Your people. And Father God, You're not okay with them doing without something Jesus died that they might have. And we just thank You, Father God, for Your ministering this to us. You help me, Father, and then You help them to receive it, to respond to it. Holy Spirit, I thank You for individualizing the counsel and the instruction to each person that, Father God, they'll walk away with specific answers and direction for their own life. And we just thank You for these things in the name of Jesus. And again, everybody said, amen. Amen. I heard through the grapevine my spiritual father, Dr. Michael Jacobs, say he was talking to someone else. It was Reverend Kamel was in that meeting and actually told me about it. And he was talking about my Prosperous Journey book, one of the books that I've written. And to the congregation in the church, he was talking about me in the book too. He said, he said that he believed prosperity was the strongest anointing that he's recognized on my life. And I never heard anybody say that, like that, but I appreciate that. Him recognizing that God has dealt with me about this being a subject that I am to emphasize. Amen. Now, because we do, that doesn't mean that we're saying that money is the most important thing. We know it's not. Amen. But as I've said before, every person, if they'll be honest and humble, they believe in prosperity. People want to get in church settings and get religious. Amen. And act like they're not into prosperity. But if you've never told your boss when he was trying to give you a bonus that you said, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in prosperity. You could just give that to the sinner that you're about to meet with, because I don't believe in it. If you've never done that, then you believe in prosperity. You never turned down a raise. Anybody in here turned down a raise? Said, no. Poverty is holy. Poverty is pious. I can't accept that. But no. See, nobody, well, don't be, we don't want to be hypocritical. Don't come into the four walls of the church and then act like money's taboo. You and I deal with and think about money every single day. And the reality is, we will not be able to accomplish our mission as the church without proper funding. I have so much, my heart is bursting with things God's dealt with me about to do. And the only reason those things aren't further along is the lack of money. The only thing. The only thing. Amen. And so it's a relevant subject. Amen. So praise God. So in Psalm 115, look at this verse with me in verse number 12. We'll start reading in verse number 12. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. So this tells me that God's been thinking about us. Well, what's He been thinking? Well, it says, He will bless us. I hear pages, did I not tell you where I was? Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, I'm so grateful that's in there, because when when it said that God will bless the house of Israel, I'd have to say that's not me. Amen. And when God said, I'll bless the house of Aaron, I'd have to say, well, that's not me. But I found myself. Did you find yourself? He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now look at what he said, verse 14. The Lord shall increase you. One time. No. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Is increase the will of God? Increase is the will of God. Verse 15 says, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So let me ask you a question you probably know the answer to. What does being blessed of the Lord look like if you're thinking about this passage? I mean, if you're struggling, you can't get by, you're behind, you're poor, you're broke, you don't have two nickels to rub together, is that blessed? That's not blessed. Not according to this. If you're blessed of the Lord, what are you doing? You are increasing more and more. Amen. Your entire tenure of Christianity on this earth should be a testimony of increase. What does the word bless mean? The word bless means to be divinely empowered. To be divinely empowered for things to go well. The word increase means to push forward. It means to be pushed forward. Amen. The word increase in the Bible means to advance. It means to multiply. It means to add to. It means whatever sum it started with, there's more. And then there's more. And then there's more. Amen. Now this has nothing to do with greed. It has nothing to do with covetousness. Amen. But this does have, it has everything to do with God's word and God's will. Amen. God's word and God's will. It's the will of God that you and I increase. And so as we've seen the last 3 weeks, that we not only, it's not only God's will that we increase, that we have a covenant right to increase. To fail to increase would be a violation of your covenant with God. Amen. So Dr. Dufresne, you know, when he was here on the earth and my life and ministry was submitted unto him, he would say things often. He would say, if there's no evidence of increase in your life in every area, you ought to check in with headquarters. You ought to check in with God, find out what's up. There should be, amen, over time as we walk with God, increase. Amen. That does not mean financially and material that all of us are going to be multimillionaires. Right? It doesn't mean that we're all going to be, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. Amen. But as we have seen and as we will continue to see, that God wants us to have a whole lot more than what we need. The word rich for a Christian should simply mean a full supply. I have a full supply. In other words, I'm taken care of. My wife and my kids are taken care of. My household is sufficiently taken care of. And we have more besides to do other things. Amen. That our joy is full. That we are enjoying life. Amen. And that we are being a blessing. Amen. Amen. And I can't go back and just say everything that we've already said to you. You understand that. Amen. So turn back, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. So when you think about your Christian life, being spiritual, how does the word wealth or wealthy sit with you? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. But if we were honest, for most Christians, we have not been raised in the church to associate wealthy and being spiritual. Most Christians have not been taught anything on this subject, or if they've been taught anything, it's been the other way. Amen. But it's just so thoroughly unscriptural. You know, we're here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was so very rich, yet he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might be rich." Well, that means rich spiritually. No, it doesn't. Read the context. The entire chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is talking about money and offerings and financial matters. So you'd be twisting and manipulating the context of the scripture to lift it out of its setting and to spiritualize it. Of course we're spiritually rich. Amen? Praise God. But Jesus was impoverished on the cross. He took the curse of poverty upon himself so that you and I, as part of you and I being redeemed from the curse of the law, which includes poverty. Amen. Amen. God doesn't want you poor. God doesn't want you struggling. God wants your bills paid. God wants you to have ice cream in moderation. Amen. God wants you to enjoy your life. God's okay with you seeing some of this planet that he made. Traveling. Amen. Praise God. Right here in this eighth chapter, God's talking to them about, hey, when you come into this land that I'm bringing you into, and you have goodly and beautiful houses, plural. Houses filled with all beautiful things. So this is his will. This is his will. Amen. He's just simply, we're about to read it, says, just don't forget me. That's the big thing. Can you be wealthy? Can you have a whole lot more than what you need and not forget God? And still love God and still be disciplined, still want to come to church and still, so you know, amen. Glory to God. All right. So praise God. Look at verse number 15, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 15. And we're picking it up in the middle of his admonition, God's admonition to the Israelites. Who led thee, reminding them about himself, who led you or thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, amen, humble you, and that he might prove or test you to do thee good at your latter end. And you will, and you say in your heart, so again he's warning, by my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. He says, don't ever think that. Right. Don't ever say that to yourself. But look at verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Shazam. Well, if wealth and wealthy is not the will of God, then God is aiding and abetting. He is hurting his people. He's telling them, he didn't say, never be wealthy. He says, just be wealthy and remember, I did that. I did that. I'm the source of that. You didn't accomplish that. You didn't produce that. You didn't have that without me. See, he just says, remember the Lord your God. Hallelujah. For it is he. So it has to be his will. Are you with me? It has to be his will. Otherwise, what do scriptures like this mean? Amen. For it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. Now, I wonder what God's motive would be. Well, it goes back to the crux of what we've been talking about for 3 weeks. The verse goes on and says that he, God, may establish his covenant, amen, which he swore unto his to your fathers as it is this day, referring to Abraham. So God gives power to get wealth so that his covenant of blessing might be established in every generation from Abraham on.
Yeah.
And really it goes before Abraham. Really it was the will of God for God's first man, Adam.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The very first words that the human ear ever heard God say was, "Be blessed." Those are the very first words the human ear ever heard. And he said unto them in Genesis 1, "Be blessed and let them have dominion." Amen. Be fruitful. You know what fruitful means? Productive. You and I are called to be productive. We are to produce things. Are you with me? Then it says multiply. So what with as in our creative partnership with our Heavenly Father, He gives the knowledge of witty inventions and new things are produced. Notice there was no washing machine in the Garden of Eden. No refrigerator, no cell phone, no iPad. All of that God gave the knowledge to man because it was always His will. God wanted His family, amen, man on earth, to experience what it's like to receive inspiration and revelation and creative ideas from our Maker because we're created in His likeness and after His image. Come on. And in this sphere of earth that He gave us, the Bible says the heavens, even the heaven of heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth He gave to the children of men. And in this sphere, amen, God meant Adam, that first man, to be the God of this world under God. Amen. And all the wonderful inventions and the wonderful technology, see, this was God's idea. He wants us to be fruitful. Amen. But then what is produced, He wants it multiplied. Well, then what did He say? He said, be fruitful. He said, multiply. And somebody help me. What did He say? Replenish. In other words, there's a consumption cycle that goes on. We eat Frosted Flakes. We need more Frosted Flakes. Amen. I mean, in the Cody home, we drink coffee. And that coffee must be replenished. It must be. And the creamer. And to ever run out in the Cody home is like, who is going to solitary confinement for this? Amen. Replenish. Replenish. Amen. And then He said, subdue it. Subdue it. In other words, control it. Control the market. So from the very beginning, it was God's plan that His man be empowered to prosper, that we have this co-creator, co-laborer dynamic with God, and as His creative ability flows through us, amen, we're fruitful, and we multiply, amen, and things are replenished as they're consumed. See, this is why I don't know if I should go down that road. People act like, you know, humans are totally going to destroy the planet. Well, sinful humanity, yes, and because of the curse, has done great damage to the planet. Amen? Amen. But you know, I'm not Mr. Scientist, but they know enough about oil now that the oil, whatever made the oil in the beginning, that stuff's being remade. I don't know that we would ever exhaust oil because God meant it to be a consumable. It is replenishable. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just saying, God, He's got enough provision down here in the earth for everybody to do well. That's another thing religion has told people. If you do too good, someone else has got to have less. Because the world is this little pie and there's not enough in it. If you get too big of a slice, someone else has got to suffer. No, that's not right. You know, God is big enough to get you the house you want and that you need and that you would enjoy and take care of the orphan in India and take care of the work of the gospel and take care of the widow And so that everybody could wear clothes. Everybody eats food. We waste more food. Amen. But there's a fear thing and a scarcity mentality in this fallen world that's gotten into the church. I'm not saying we shouldn't be good stewards, but we should not have a poverty, chintzy mindset. Amen. Well, I need to get back to this. So keep your finger here, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, this is a super familiar passage of Scripture for us. But I had the Lord say something that just thrilled me. And he said this to me. He said, "Son, would you like to see Deuteronomy 8:18 in the New Testament?" I said, "I would." Because, you know, a lot of people say that's Old Testament. He said, "Would you like to see Deuteronomy 8:18 in the New Testament?" Absolutely. And so anybody got an Amplified Bible? Somebody, or we'll have it up on the screen, the Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll read several scriptures, but I'm going to be leading up to specifically verse number 8. But let's begin reading in verse 6. "But this I say," Paul said, "he that sows sparingly will reap also sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give," or so let him sow, "not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Amen. Are you a cheerful giver? Amen. I'm a cheerful giver. I love to give. Amen. Now notice the result. If we properly walk in the light of verse 6 and 7, you don't get to just pick verse 8 because you like it. The only way to get to verse 8 is through verse 6 and 7. Amen. Well, look at what it says. It says, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness, being," notice this, mark this in your Bible, this phrase, "being enriched." Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So both Genesis 12, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 8:18 are restated right here in this passage. So we just read Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power. That word power means divine ability. Divine ability to do what? To get or produce wealth. You remember Genesis 12:2 says that if Abraham agrees to come into a covenant with God, that God would bless him. God would make his name greater, distinguished in the earth. That God would, and then that he would be a blessing. So the phrase blessed to be a blessing, that comes from Genesis 12:2. That's the covenant we're in. God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. Well, both of those laws, both of those covenant statements are repeated in different wording right here. Amen? So if we could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 in the Amplified. We'll put that up on the screen for you. I want you to notice this. I love how this reads. "And God is able to make all grace," look at this, "every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may," this will be the result of God doing that. The result of God making all grace abound towards you, Sister Debbie. And we'll get into that in a moment. God's going to grace you. And in this grace, him ministering this to you, the result is what? You may always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need may be. You'll end up being what? Self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or outside support, furnished in abundance. Amen. For every good work and charitable donation. So here we see both Deuteronomy 8:18 and the principle of Genesis 12:2, blessed to be a blessing in the same verse. God gives power to get wealth. The New Testament says, God, Brother Tony, is going to grace you. And the end result will be of you being graced will be two things. Number one, you'll never need any help. If you operate in this grace, you will be completely self-sufficient. And it won't be tight. He's going to furnish you in abundance. And it doesn't, in every moment, no matter what the circumstance, no matter if the need be many or few, whether it be small or great, amen, this grace on you has enabled you to be furnished in abundance. That's you being blessed. But then he didn't just stop there. But he said, you will also be able to give to every charitable work. That's being blessed to be a blessing. Now, advance that scripture to verse 11 in the Amplified. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way. In all things, in every way. Always under all circumstances. I like this. Amen. Now look at this. Why are you going to be enriched in all things and in every way? So you can be generous. Not so you can be tight. Not so that you can be selfish. Amen. But so that you can be generous. Well, this verse tells me something. Brother Dakota, I have to be enriched in order to be generous. In other words, I cannot give what I do not have. I cannot give. I cannot sow seed I do not possess. But God says, I'm gonna take the responsibility of being the one that ministers seed to sowers. So let's talk a couple of minutes here about two words, grace and enriched. All right, let's take the second one first. I looked up the word enriched or enrich. And do you remember Reverend Siegel when he was here last ministering to us out of a different scripture about this word grace? And then it uses the word enrich in that passage. Well, it's the same thing. So I looked up the word enrich, and Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the word enrich like this. You got your shouting clothes on? Yeah. Amen. It means to make rich. Enrich. It means to make rich, wealthy or opulent. To supply with abundant property. His second definition. The word enrich means to fertilize. It means to supply and render something or someone to be productive. Number three, it means to store. To store. To supply with an abundance of anything desirable. Glory to God. Number four, it means to supply with anything splendid, or ladies, you'll like this, or ornamental. Well, I looked up the word ornamental, and it means decorations. And examples that in defining the word ornamental, things like, hold on to your wallets, gentlemen, jewelry, bracelets, decor. Well, Pastor Chris, this is Noah Webster. That's a secular definition. Well, if you knew anything about Noah Webster, he's a very devoted believer. And Noah Webster, his primary source that he looked at to define his words was the Bible. Bless you. Well, just to check up on Noah Webster, I went to the Greek word translated enriched in this verse, verse 11. And this is the Greek, it comes from the Greek word plautos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S. And this is what it means. To cause to be relatively high on a scale of opulence to make wealthy. This is the Greek definition. To cause to abound in something or to make rich. So Noah Webster was on it. Now, this being enriched, you want to go over that again? To make rich, wealthy or opulent, to supply with abundant property, to fertilize, to supply, to render someone or something productive, to store, to supply with an abundance of anything desirable, to supply with anything splendid or ornamental. Amen. Well, this is a result of you being blessed. This is a result of you being graced. Now, the Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. Amen. And this is what that, let me find it. Glory to God. There's a lot of definitions about the word grace. This is the way Reverend Siegel defined it when he was here. Grace is what God gives. Grace is a lot of things. So anything and everything God gives is a grace because it's not based on something we deserve. It's not based on something that you and I could earn. Right? That's where we get the definition unearned or unmerited favor from God. But that unearned, unmerited favor from God manifests itself in particular ways that God shows that favor. He shows that kindness. He does it by saving you even though you don't deserve to be saved. Right? He forgives me because he's gracious. Amen? But that's the same motivation of him wanting to heal me. Or set me free. Or provide for my financial and material needs. Amen. So if you look up this word charis, glory to God. Okay, there it is. This is what one Greek definition dictionary defines it this way. Grace or charis is the divine influence of God on the heart and its reflection in the life. So go back and put that up, back up on the board, 2 Corinthians 9, what, 8? God is able to make all grace, Cynthia, abound toward you. Let's put that definition in there. God is able to make all of his divine influence abound in your life, and its reflection will, in other words, it's his empowerment. Let me just state it. It's his divine ability. It's the same thing as Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. God gives you power to get wealth. What is that power? It's divine ability. What is that? It's grace. That's what it is. It's grace. And when we are operating in the grace of God, it should reflect in the life. If God's grace is having its way in me, then I ought to be gracious also. If God's love is working in me, then I'm going to be loving. If God's quick and willingness to forgive people is being worked in me, then I'm forgiving. Amen? In other words, his grace begins to be reflected in my life. Well, God is a creative genius. He is the author and the creator of the universe. He's the one that thought up diamond. He's the one who made gold. He's the one who authored silver and platinum. Amen. The idea, the creative ability, the divine idea for every good invention came out of the heart and mind of God. But it was ministered into the human heart and mind and reflected in the life. Amen. Let me give you a quick story. Brother Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, ministered for Pastor Nancy when I was there in January at her church. And he got up that first service, I believe, and began to talk about a man, I forget his name, invented or solved the problem of being able to get a satellite in what we call stationary orbit. They had figured out how to get a satellite out of Earth's atmosphere. What they could not figure out, the Earth is turning. Okay, so let's say we want a satellite directly always over Paducah, Kentucky. Well, the Earth is going like this. They could get the satellite up there, but they need that satellite to be in a stationary in-sync orbit with a location so they could have line of sight to access that signal. Are you with me?
Yes.
That problem had never been solved until a man filled with the Holy Ghost who was working with the founders of the first Christian satellite TV station. He got over in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and God gave him the mathematical formula, the answer to that problem. And the stationary satellite was born. Why? Because it was God's plan to spread the gospel around the world through fixed satellites. It was a Spirit-filled man who cooperated with God. And listen, they made money. Come on, you. And listen, you'll have to come to mentoring because I've got so much. I want to go deep into some of this stuff. But where you work, you ought to be a peculiar person. Listen, what are the problems and the challenges of the business that you work at?
That's good.
You may not know the answer, but you know the one who does know the answer. And God wants to give you that answer. And that's Him gracing you with ability. Are you with me? And you can solve those problems. And we can begin to bring the kingdom of God outside the four walls of the church into the marketplace and start solving problems for the good of humanity and bringing blessing. And there will be financial reward that comes with that, through which and from that we can bless the church, fund the church, and do the work of God with the proceeds. This is God's plan, that we're blessed, we're empowered by God, we're graced by God, amen, so that through the work of our hands, we produce enough wealth that we're taken care of abundantly. And we have enough to be generous. Are you getting that? This is the thing I wanted to get over to us tonight. God gives the power to get wealth. God gives the power to get wealth. One of the most wealthy people that lived just outside of town where I lived, in the small little town of Washington, Oklahoma, he had this, I drove by it a few times, it was this opulent place. I'm like, oh my gosh, what? This guy's got some moolah, this guy's got some clout. Tell me something about this guy. You know what he did? He invented the wire twist tie for bread. That's what he did. He cut a little section of wire and put some paper on it, and figured out how to package that bread, had a patent on it, and everybody that used it on their product had to pay him. Come on. You remember we were talking about when Reverend Roberts was here that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest? See, this is a big thing about how you're going to increase. How is increase going to come? Well, we see this. Who does God grace? Who does God grace? God is able to make all ability, divine ability, so that you can live this kind of life. Well, here it says you got to be a sower. You got to be a giver. You got to show yourself a giver. God graces the giver with ability to produce wealth. Why? Because that person will give it. That person will distribute it. That's what God's looking for. Amen. One of my best friends in Oklahoma, a preacher, his brother worked for Stryker Medical. And if you were a medical rep with Stryker, you were set as long as you had that gig. But they had patents on some of the most amazing medical, surgical instruments used in medical science today. And they are, you familiar with Stryker? They are wealthy. That's a wealthy company. You think about the iPhone. You know how your iPhone works? I have no idea how that works. Somebody knows how that works. Think about the blessing to humanity. Think about the wealth created because somebody had a divine idea. We have to stop coming to church, plunking some money in the bucket, and just thinking, I'm done. It's all up to God now. What does God do for sowers? He gives you power to get wealth. He gives you power to get wealth. He'll give you a divine idea. He'll give you favor. He'll open doors for you. He'll get you in front of the right people. Amen. Glory to God. He'll give you the strength. The Bible says God will bless the work of your hands. Amen. So see, as you live this life as a giver and you sow and you sow and you bring your tithe and you sow like we're going to sow before we leave tonight. Amen. When we sow, what happens next? Well, the pattern that I see in the Word, guys, is the Word of the Lord. What is released by our giving is, should be, the Word of the Lord. Let me give you an example. Peter sowed his boat. He lent his boat to Jesus to preach in. He wasn't expecting anything back. He just lent the use of his equipment to Jesus so he could push off a little bit from, get a little breathing room from the crowd, and he taught. Well, Jesus is, he's the Lord of the harvest. Peter's, even though he's not thinking about that, that wasn't his motive. Peter is now due a harvest. So after the sowing of the seed of the boat, what happened next? The word of the Lord. What did Jesus do? He said something to Peter. Peter, go launch out into the deep and cast out your net. What came next was the word of the Lord. I hope you're listening. It took a little. Peter had to, man, you don't know anything about fishing. You're a preacher. I just fished all night long in the prime time for fishing. If you know, if you're in my business, and we caught nothing. Now you're asking me to go out in the worst time of the day after I've done all this work, but at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he did that, what did he do? He acted on what he heard. He acted on the word of the Lord. By faith, the harvest came supernaturally. Now, if you think, if you just run it in your head, think about scenarios. When people were in a crisis or when they needed something, Jesus never did their miracle for them, provided for them, using something they did not have. He always used something they had. Can you give me an example? The feeding of the 5,000. So when Jesus told his disciples, you give them something to eat. They started getting in their brain, start getting in their head. Wrong. No. Finally, Jesus, Andrew actually, in one account, he speaks up and says, well, there's a boy here. Right? With some fish and a couple of loaves. But then he got in his head again. But what's that among so many? Jesus said, that's all I need. That's. Notice, he used what they had. He never used what they did not have. Your increase is in your sphere. It's in your hand. It's in your house. It's in your orbit. I said it's in your orbit. Your orbit, Amanda, it's not my orbit. But your increase, God knows your path to increase in your orbit. It's different from mine, but the method is the same. I'm to honor God with my tithe, be faithful, operate in the laws of the kingdom, be a sower. But the moment I'm a sower, he's great. What should I expect? Not money in the mail. For him to rain it down. No. What you should expect is, what's the word of the Lord?
Right.
Where is my harvest? What do I have in my house? When the widow woman, back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, around I think chapter 4, she came to the man of God all upset. The creditors just took my husband away, or he died. My husband died, and we're in debt. Now the creditors are coming, threatening to take my two boys into slavery until the debt be paid. And she's putting that on the man of God. What do I do? What did he tell her? What do you have in your house? Notice how God's using the prophet. It's not out here somewhere, guys. It's not your breakthrough. It's not way out in the cosmos somewhere. It's in your orbit. It's in your sphere. It might be in your house. It could be in your head, an idea you have not acted on, a desire that you have not pursued. 3 hours of researching an idea that you've had that you went, huh, that's probably nothing.
Right.
Why waste my time on that when I could binge watch whatever?
Come on.
You know how many divine ideas God's given that died with people? They never acted on it.
Right.
They never had enough faith to launch out into the deep. Oh, that's good.
Amen.
That's good, Father. See, if you want to prosper, you got to just stop expecting God to do it all for you because you put some money in the offering plate. It does not work like that.
Amen.
What do you have? Now, God will work miracles, but he's going to work miracles with what you got.
Right.
What do you have? What is God saying?
Right.
She said, listen how destitute she was. She said, your servant has nothing in the house except this pot of oil. What did he say? He said, well, that's a problem. Let me go pray about that because I can't work with that. The little insignificant thing she had, God used. He gave her power to get wealth with what she had. She had it. Is this getting over to you? See, this is going to require you all to actually go out here and talk to God and contemplate if you're going to increase. But it's not all about just working harder by the sweat of your brow. Notice what happened. She brought her need to God and to the man of God. What came next? The word of the Lord. And what was the word of the Lord? You know it. Go and borrow vessels. Borrow not a few. Bring them into your house. Pour out. And so they did that. She said, boys, go. And they got every jar, every vessel, every empty milk carton they could find. They brought it in. She shut the door. And now miraculous increase is about to show up. She pours. And it just, you know the story, right? And God filled every container.
Right.
It would still be being poured out if she could find a container. It kept pouring out until her capacity to receive it was tapped out. Then it stayed. Then the word of the Lord came again. Go, sell the oil on the market. Engage in business. Buy low, sell high. Are you with me? I don't know. I wish he was here. I could talk to him about it. But Dr. Dufresne, he made all kinds of money. He'd come across something in his travels, and he'd buy it. Some old junker of something. And he had connections with different preachers that liked to fix up cars. And he'd have Stephen run all over, his son run all over the country of that trailer. Pick up that and take it over here. And they'd fix it up and sell it for 5 times what to put in it. And just do it over and over and over again. Now don't you, but see, you got something. I said, you've got something. I don't know if you're getting this or not. But see, this is a huge thing that we need to tap into of how increase is going to come. God's not going to multiply what you don't have. And if God could enrich that woman, she was drowning in debt, about to lose her entire family in one moment. And in a few hours later, she's out of debt and rich. Because he said, woman, go and sell the oil, pay the debt, and then what'd he say? Live on the rest. There was enough oil there for her to live on. But notice, God didn't multiply the oil out of nothing. God didn't go find the vessels. There was something for her to do. Reverend Philip Slaughter, he told this fantastic story. I just trust him. He's a man of integrity. He said he was preaching on that story about that woman. And he was just preaching along, and some precious black mama stood up in the congregation and said, "I don't have anything in my house except painted rocks." Now, I'm not being critical. This particular person apparently was of some lower intelligence at that time in her educational development. And that's what she spouted. Just interrupted his sermon. "That's all I got is painted rocks." And he said, "The Spirit of God came on me and said, come here." And he basically said unto her, "Mom, you go paint rocks. Paint not a few. And you go into your community and there will be people that will buy those rocks." You know, she had enough simple faith, childlike faith. She went, and he said, "They were ugly. Oh my gosh. They were not works of art. They were bad." But little boutiques began to buy them and then sell them. And she kept doing that. Well, she began to have enough money to get herself a car. And then with that car, she kept painting rocks and kept selling rocks. And she was able to put herself through school. And the last I heard, you know, from the way he ended the story, she was a savvy business lady at present. See, God used what she had in her house. God knows how to get you your harvest. He knows where it is. He told the prophet at the announcement of the famine, "Get yourself over to Cherith, to the brook, for the ravens shall feed you there." See, there's a place where you're going to prosper. I said, there's a place you're going to prosper. You got to find that place. "How do I find it, Pastor?" You got to hear the word of the Lord. "What's the word of the Lord, Pastor?" "I don't know." Go pray. Go and pray. Go and talk to God. Amen. But God gives power to get wealth. In the New Testament, it's restated. Did you see it? Did you see it? He said, "Chris, would you like to see Deuteronomy 8:18 restated in the New Testament? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, all ability, His ability abounding in us. And the result, as we yield to His ability, as we follow His leading, as we cooperate with Him, as we act in faith, as we're sowers, amen. He's going to bless, He's going to say, "I want you to go into that field of study." And He'll make a way. "I want you to apply for this job. I could never get that." If He said apply for it, watch out. I'm going to tell on Miss Cynthia for a minute, and I'm about to close. When I first met Cynthia, she was a studio hairdresser, if you want to call her that. She rented space, a single chair for a larger corporation. She did that for years, and God prospered her. But you know what? There's a limit. If you're going to stay on that rung of the ladder, there's a limit there. And yet she's a faithful tither and a sower and a giver. And God would move on me after several years of pastoring her. God moved on me. And I prophesied to her, "God wants to make a manager out of you." But what'd you do? You did not accept the word of the Lord. Just be honest. She didn't want the responsibility of having that. And maybe thinking, "Can I do that? I don't know. Can I do that?" Well, God just wouldn't leave her alone about it. Every now and again, I'd let it go. And then now and again, He'd come back on me and talk to her. Finally, she did it. Mm-hmm. Came up to a whole other level and is today one of the most successful salon managers around. She's been here, been there, done this, done that. I've never seen her not thrive, not take that thing up high, not be one of the highest in the company if she's part of that. Amen. I don't know why you don't have your own, but I'm not saying that's the word of the Lord. Amen. But it was within her orbit. But see, she had to be willing to take on greater responsibility and believe that God could help her to do it. Say, well, I just couldn't do that. Listen, Cody, you can do anything if God graces you to do it. You could put on a red cape and fly around and leap over buildings with a single bound if God graced you to do it. I mean, an angel showed up one day to Elijah and said, eat this. And he ate it and outran the king's chariot. He ran for like, what, 40 days. He didn't sleep. He didn't stop. He didn't say, I'm tired. He ran for 40 days. God graced him to do it. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I did, but whatever. Praise God. I'm trying to help people. I said, I'm trying to help you. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I feel like I've been dragging my feet about the last instruction I believe I've got, but I'm going to get with it. I said, I'm going to get with it. The last thing God dealt with me about was the daycare. I'm so glad we did that. Amen. But see, all that happened is a leading. Because of our giving, it qualified us for more. Right? But God works through vessels and avenues down here. He's not typically going to just rain it on you out of the sky. Amen? So we just launched out and did that. Amen. But you think about it. Every story like that in the Bible, their harvest came the word of the Lord. Mary turned to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. Jesus did not leave and go to Walgreens. He didn't say, Judas, hand us the ministry credit card and go down to Costco and get some boxed wine for him. He didn't have to leave. He used what was right there. He used what was right there. Amen. Well, are you interested in increase?
Yes.
Do you need to increase?
Yes.
Well, God wants you to increase.
Yes.
And though, you know, not all of us are going to be graced to be inventors of something that, you know, revolutionizes an entire industry, why not one of you be something around like that? Why not? Why not? Amen. Praise God. Every new groundbreaking thing that blessed humanity, it came out of the heart and mind of God. Men have done evil things with satellite television. But God meant it for good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just checking, see if there's anything else I need to say to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Aren't you glad He's a God of increase?
Yes.
Praise God. And he's held back ideas. He's just waiting for someone to receive them, to talk to Him about them. Praise God. You know, Carl's not me, and I'm not him, but God's gracing him. And Melissa. And don't despise small beginnings. Well, I sold 10 pens this month. That's all right. It's all preparation for what you're going to need to sell 100 of them. I'll tell you one more story. It's 8:29. I got time. Pastor Nancy talked about in her book, I Have a Supply, about a single mama. And God told her in a service, I want you to give $1,000 to this church project. She said, God, I don't have $1,000. And God said to her, you write it down in a pledge. You pledge it. And when it comes in, you give it. So she did that by faith. When God gives me $1,000, I'm doing it. I've done that before too. Just wrote it down. Well, God brought in $1,000 and she took it. She sowed it. And but now what? Word of the Lord. So she was in her home, and just as a hobby, just as something she did as a creative mama, she had made a few of these hair barrettes. And I don't know what she originally made them for, some small event or something. And God said, make some of those barrettes and take them to your friend and see if she'll sell them in her shop on consignment in her boutique. Well, now what is she? She's got a job now, right? It's not just waiting for the angels to pay her bills. No, and get her out of debt. So she did. She made some, went to the boutique owner, her friend, and she said, absolutely, I'll be glad to do that. And she put them in a store window or they're in the store somewhere. Well, not long after that, a major buyer for a major retailer was walking through the boutique, as was her habit and custom, to see what was out there for ideas that she could buy things for their major retail store. And she said, did you make these barrettes? No, a friend of mine did. She said, I'd like to order 50,000 of them. Don't sweat, Carl. Don't sweat. 50,000 of them. Well, it was the beginning of something that radically changed the single mama's life. Her children, her life, her children's children's lives changed. It began with the sowing of a seed. And then the harvest was, she was led to her harvest by the word of the Lord. But then it was up to her to put in the sickle and to do the work. How many of you know she had to figure out supply chain, manufacturing, distribution. Now she's an employer. She's got to figure all that out. God didn't do all that for her. But you got to be willing to do your part. Amen. Ushers, if you would come up the aisle tonight. Let's, as our final act of our faith tonight and worship tonight, let's honor our Father. Is that okay? Can we honor our Father? Let's honor our Father by bringing unto Him the tithe of the increase. He's the God of increase. We have increase. And we bring our tithe. And then let's be a blessing. Let's sow a seed. What would God tell you to sow tonight? Be generous. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this precious congregation.